Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 21st?
21st, day after my birthday. Thank you, by the way, for calling me, wishing me well.
Oh, you didn't get my call?
No, I must have missed it.
Yeah, you missed my call.
Oh, it's
gifts
okay.
In the mail.
I know you're thinking of me.
So how old are you now?
I'm 52.
Okay.
Getting up there.
Well, you don't look a day over 30.
Thank you so much. You know, I started to go back to a gym again. A health club.
Oh, okay.
You know? Last time I remember, I was thinking about when was the last time I was in a health club and kind of doing that versus just running or biking or whatever.
Yeah.
1990.
I got to watch out nowadays.
Well, I got this 14-day free trial from a friend.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, go over to the place, over to LA Fitness. So I'll check it out. I'll see what it's like. I'll see what's going on. I get there and they have to scan me. They have to activate this thing. And then they need to take me around a tour. Like, you know, this is the weight room. You know, this is the weights. This is the racquetball courts. This is the, you know, the cardio area.
Oh, you got a place with racquetball courts.
Yeah, racquetballs and basketball.
You got tennis courts up on the roof?
No, I don't think so.
No.
No. There's a, you know, they take me into the men's locker room. I'm like, listen, I'll join right now. Take me to the women's locker room. I'm in. Like, oh, I can't do that. I'm like, dude, chill out. I'm just kidding around. So he sits me down and he starts to give me the strong arm. You know, you got to join. I'm like, I don't want to join. I got a 14-day free trial. No, you got to, you know, if you have to make a commitment to yourself, and that would be all about joining today. I'm like, oh, come on, you know? So he went on and on and on and on. And then long story short, then, of course, the big man comes, right? The manager trying to.
The closer.
Yeah, he's trying to close me. He says, are you going to join today? I'm like, no, I'm not. You know, I'm not doing it. These aren't expensive deals. It's, you know, maybe $100 initiation, like $39 a month. It's cancelable at any time. Versus the old days, you had to like sign up for your life.
You know, it's hard to close a closer, one. Yeah. And two, if the 14-day thing is that's it. That's the deal. If you like it after 14 days, what are they trying to close you for?
That's what I said.
It's terrible. I would walk on the spot.
I said to the guy, like, listen, do you make more money if I actually sign up today? He goes, no. I said, oh, that's too bad. He goes, why? Would that be, you know, would you... If I did make more money, would that be something that would help out, you know, make your mind? I said, yeah, I mean, if you're going to make more money, he goes, yeah, well, I do get more money then. I'm like, oh, come on.
These guys are amateurs.
Yeah, total amateurs. Anyway, that's my gym story. So I've been going doing the treadmill thing and the other thing you move around, whatever. I've been doing all the junk. Anyway, let's talk about markets a little bit. Markets had been for some time back in consolidation mode, especially after the Fed announced a 25 basis point rate hike last Wednesday. And gold rallied, the US dollar sold off in the news, and Fed funds futures are now at 0.75 to 1% or 0.875. And prime rate moved up, causing billions of dollars of adjustable loans and mortgages to be more costly now. And banks and financials have been better sold off as the yield curve came in. It seemed like there was this thought that, well, the Fed's going to raise and it's going to, you know, rally the dollar and all, which was a good concept, and that the banks would do so much better. But unfortunately, all this had been done prior to this. And what happened was that it was kind of interesting because as soon as the rate hike thing came out, well, it was okay. Things didn't move too much. Janet Yellen started talking and she was a bit more dovish than anyone had really, well, not that anyone had to be expected. You know, the bottom line was there was this whole, I had to do a little click of something there. So basically what happened from there was that the dollar started to tank because Janet Yellen talked about this neutral rate, which I don't recall hearing before. It's neutral.
That's a good
rate.
Term.
What's a neutral rate?
What is neutral rate? Neutral rate. That means nothing.
Right. It's a neutral rate. This is a level which would not help or assist in the expansion or a contraction of the economy. Right. So this is what the expected neutral rate is. And so everybody's like, well, what? And she says, well, we're very close to that. What do you mean we're very close to that? We're at less than 1%. So I guess what she was saying is that the Fed is not going to be at all aggressive much further than next couple of rate hikes here, because otherwise they could potentially stall the economy. It's kind of ridiculous. A neutral rate at this point.
Yeah.
Being where it is now. But anyway, I put a chart up here over on dhunplugged.com. You can check it out once those show notes go up. The chart of the U.S. dollar. Take a look at this. This is interesting. What's interesting about this, the white line is the U.S. dollar index, which is a basket against other currency, dollar against another other currency baskets. Always, currencies are always trade against another currency. It's not like just a currency. Although you can trade the futures, I guess, on its own, but still against another basket of some sort or an individual currency. So when you talk about the yen, we're talking about the yen versus the dollar, the yen versus the yuan, the yen versus the euro. You know, you got to figure out what you're talking about here. But usually when we talk about things, we're talking about the euro versus the dollar or the yen versus the dollar. Well, here's a basket. And you can see what happened after the election. The dollar spiked up to about 103 and then kind of started rolling down. But what's interesting now is we're significantly below the 50-day moving average, which, by the way, is also sloping down. So the red line. And we're kind of looking at where we go next here. And the 200-day moving average is about 98.46 right now.
Well, all I know against the euro, it's a 1.08, and that's he's going in the wrong way.
Yeah. So this has been problematic because the market has been liking the fact that the dollar has been going up. Money's been pouring in from other places. It's the place to be. The thought that we would have a consistently strong economy, and generally things are okay with the economy. But you know, what are you going to do? So right now what we're seeing is that there was this sell-off today. Did you notice this sell-off today?
I didn't.
Do you know what happened today at all?
No, not really. I thought it was pretty neutral.
No. This is the worst day of the year. As a matter of fact, the worst day since the election. The Dow was
down. What did I miss?
Well, you missed the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 1.14%. This is the first time in the last 5 months that the Dow Jones has fallen more than 1%.
I thought it fell over 200 points. This fell, what, 239?
Yep, this is the most.
I thought it fell more than that already once.
Nope, not in 5 months.
Huh.
It's been a very, very tight range. Banks, biotechs, healthcare were the worst hit.
Well, do you think it's going to continue? This is the big question.
Well, some of the, you know, there's always, you know, why did the Dow fall? And there's always, you know, oh, it's because of this.
The explanations are no good. But when it dropped today, it went kind of like down a lot.
Yeah, it was down.
I thought it crabbed after that.
Nope. The S&P was down 1.25%, Nasdaq down 1.8, small caps down 275.
It was down by 11, but it seems to me that it was down by 11.
What was down by 11?
The market.
11
by 11 a.m.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that's usually what happens. It kind of
it crabbed the rest of the day.
Didn't do most of anything for the rest of the day. It kind of tried to come up a couple of times. And then it did close in the lows, pretty much at the lows for the day. So closing at the lows is not a good thing.
No, I guess not.
And then
I don't know. I just don't see this as a major as the bad inflection point that's coming.
Well, some of the reasons that have been discussed is because there is now a very significant chance that the healthcare bill won't pass.
I think it's beyond a significant chance.
Well, the talk is that if the healthcare bill doesn't pass, and if because Trump's agenda, which this big agenda that he set out, he doesn't have the support for that, will he have the support for the tax cut, which is what the whole market is riding on?
Oh, I see.
So, okay. he loses his political cred.
So he does the health care. The health care thing is going to fail.
Yeah.
And so somehow, I guess, in some universe, that's connected to the tax cuts.
Yes. You're not going
to
bring
up. We're talking about the tax cuts that are important to the market, not the supposed tax cuts that are going to the workers, but the tax cuts that are important to the market, namely dropping the corporate rate and then dropping a rate to capture the overseas money.
Yeah, repatriation. And then on top of that, the potential for reduced regulations. So the thing is
that— So what you're saying is that because the— and I think it's not going to pass. The healthcare thing is not going to pass. That won't pass because somehow they're connected.
I'm just telling you what the headlines were to explain today's market move. And it did seem to move in lockstep with some of the commentary that was coming out throughout the day.
All right.
So, you know, it was a very bad day for banks. Why do you, you know, what do you explain of that? I mean, why would banks do so poorly today?
It doesn't make sense to me.
I mean,
the whole— Yeah,
you'd have to say that, one of the things that the banks have been riding on is deregulation. We know that. There's no question about that. The second thing is a steepening yield curve, which has been coming back a bit after the dovish comments from the Fed and clearly some taxes and some better economy. But take a look at this. This is a chart that I put together. This is midday, or it was towards the end of the day. Look at these regionals and the big banks, how they did today. Do you see that table there?
I'm looking at it.
So KeyCorp down 6.5%, Huntington Bank shares down 6%, Bank of America down 5.8%. You go down the list anywhere from what? State Street was only down 1.8%. But these are the major banks that are dealing with lending, and especially the regionals that got hurt the most. I mean, look at those numbers. That has to do with the fact the small caps were down 2.75%. And again, bringing that full circle here is that you had the biotechs getting smoked today. Healthcare companies getting smoked today. And anything that was this Trump trade that had all the things that were related to the plans that he was going to put into place and do it quickly kind of faded today.
Okay.
So
now I'll temporarily buy all this.
Okay. Until tomorrow morning when the market's up 1%. Right?
You know? Well, I don't. You know, when you see a move like this, and sometimes it lasts for a couple of days, or it freezes, and then it jumps up. But if it jumped up tomorrow, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and again, I mean, this is the bottom line is that there's a very aggressive policy that is being sought after by the current administration, and that's great. A lot of it is really good stuff if it comes to fruition in terms of the benefit to not only markets but individuals and the economy. You know, we'll see what happens with things like the deficit and that area. But as we mentioned last week, and the title of the show last week was Going Up the Down Escalator. So now we have the Fed fighting, you know, the
very prescient.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about the VIX for a second. Some people in the chat room was talking about this and asking about, you know, what's going on with the VIX. Now, the VIX was back to about 11 for a little while this morning, right in the beginning of the morning, and kind of moving down. And then by the end of the day, it finished up at 12.50, which is still significantly lower than, I would say, the long-term average, which, you know, 14, 15, even.
Yeah. Lower than you'd think.
Yeah, a lot of complacency there. So I put a little chart there to show you what happened here. Back in November, before the election, the VIX spiked up to about 22. And I put a horizontal red line there. You see that red line? That's post-election or from the election forward. And you can see what happened with the VIX, which is this volatility index. And there's a lot that goes into whether the VIX is a viable instrument to actually look at from a volatility standpoint anymore. But in the beginning of the day, it was down 2.5%. It was at $11. See that right when I clipped this?
Yeah. It's you never know anything was going on.
Yeah. And then we're in this channel right now. The bottom is probably about 1060. And the top of it's about 1260, 13, call it 13.
Yeah.
So if we break out that 13, I think that there may be something going on there. So there may be an opportunity to look at the VIX as an area to hedge portfolio positions. The problem is that the ETFs don't do a good job at this at all. ETFs do a very poor job of it. You can get a quick move on it and they work out, but oftentimes doing investing in the options is a little bit better. The other thing that, by the way, I think may have been affecting markets today was some of the word that we heard out of China. You know, we've been looking at China's bad loans for a while and the property bubble that's going on over there. And here we find out today that the People's Bank of China had to inject enormous sums of money into several small lenders, the banks, because they couldn't meet their payment requirements. So they're injecting a massive amount of money into the system right now. Mm. So that's not a good thing.
No.
So I think that there's a big concern about whether, you know, China is going to be, back in the spotlight as something that is a concern. We're also seeing record stockpile of iron ore at China's ports. They just stockpiled all this and started, you know, I still wonder if some of the things that we talked about a few weeks ago about this whole concept of the concern over protectionist style of policies, protectionism, is causing some strange movements in markets and in a lot of things that are going on right now with regard to the commodities and the stockpiling and oil and the whole markets. I just wonder if there's an imbalance right now.
Talk, though. There's nothing really changed.
Yeah, but the G20 meeting this weekend, they kind of removed the whole, they've had this whole thing about free trade and lack of protectionism and, you know, all that. And they kind of skirted that and didn't put that in their official statement this week.
Well, there was a big fuss before the G20. The United States, and there was all a lot of compromises. The United States did not want to see the word protectionism mentioned anywhere in the document. And China specifically did not want to see the word fair in the document, as in fair trade versus free trade. And neither one were in the documents, right? I don't think either one was used. And it was just a meeting where they, you know, I don't know what they accomplished at these meetings. It's not like the WTO or anything that really has teeth.
They have good lunches.
I'll bet they do. I'll bet they have great lunches.
And vino.
Yeah, I'm sure of that too.
By the way, I had a good wine last night. I had the Gergich Hill 2010 Merlot.
Oh, I didn't even know they made a Merlot.
Yeah, they're pretty famous for Chardonnay and their Cabernets.
Right.
I met him, Michael Gergich, nice fella.
Yeah, he spends most of his time in Croatia.
Oh, does he?
Yes, he's got a big vineyard. They're huge. He's Croatian.
Oh, I like his.
That's his name. That's Gergich name. It's very kind of Yugoslavian kind of thing.
I'll be going there this summer. Maybe I'll look him up.
Croatia?
Yes.
Oh, he'd be glad to. He would, if you got a hold of him and told him you're going to be at the place, if he was there, he'd show you a good time. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
I'm going to be there for, I think, a day or two. I'm going to a Greek.
Croatia's great, by the way.
It's a long story how this happened. I was supposed to be going to India. And
why?
Well, my wife wanted to go, and, you know, our trips through the summer, we always do these crazy trips, and everybody that I talk to says, why are you going to India in the summer? Yeah, everybody.
Especially in the summer.
So, don't go. Please don't go. So
actually, it's funnier if everyone said nothing and you went. Get kind of amused by this.
I was at a charity event in the beginning of the year, and let's just say that I had a few too many. And the auction started, and I never bid on the auction items. I don't know what came over me, but I had the hand up the whole time for this for this cruise. And all of a sudden, everybody turns around and starts clapping for me. I'm like, what happened? They're like, you won. I'm like, what? So it cost me a chunk of money for this.
You won.
Yeah, I won. So I got this Azamara cruise, a certificate for any of their cruises for a whole, you know, within a whole year, I can use it. Two ships they have, you know, this is the high end Royal Caribbean, I guess, and a small ship. So you can go on these like 14 and 18 day cruises and all that. Well, let me give you the, so my wife was like drinking a bunch too. And all, so we get home 5:30 in the morning. I get up to, oh my God, what did you do? She's screaming at me. You know, I don't want to go on a cruise, and we have this trip planned for India and all. So I had to make nicey nice. Anyway, it turned out to actually work out very well for us. We're going to go to the Greek islands, starting out in we start out in Athens. Then we go to Mykonos and Santorini, then Crete and somewhere else, Croatia, Slovenia, and then back to Venice. So that should be fun.
Venice is fantastic. Slovenia is a great little country. Croatia, I like. I used to write for a magazine there, so I've been there more than a couple of times. And I've only been to Slovenia once. but it was, I liked that place a lot.
Yeah. Santorini is beautiful. Last time I was in Santorini, I pulled out my back so badly, so incredibly badly that I was in bed for 3 days, and I went out for a 20-minute walk one of the days and took a couple of pictures. One of them actually won a little magazine contest. But that was it. I didn't see the beach at all. All I saw was the ceiling in my bedroom the whole time. It was horrible.
Well, that's not good.
Yep. All right, Hong Kong and Singapore are now topping the list of most expensive cities in Asia. That's kind of been there for, they go back and forth for some time. Very expensive, especially like the retail, the cost for a retail establishment in Hong Kong is ridiculous. How they make money, I have no idea, but they do. FedEx is out with earnings tonight. They missed by 27 cents a share. But the company reaffirmed guidance. Stock was up 3% after hours.
I can't understand why these guys' numbers are so low.
Who, FedEx?
No, transports in general.
Yeah, the transports have been very weak since Warren Buffett bought into and came out with a discussion about how he's buying the airlines. And right after that, that was it. And you have to wonder, with oil coming down, what's oil now? It's 47 and a half or something? Let's see.
Let's take a look.
I think it's 47 and a quarter, 47 and a half.
Well, I have 48.22.
48.22. Hang on. Going to the other side.
You go to the big box.
Yep. You're right. 48.22. It was down to 40. Clip right down to 48, actually, this afternoon. But that's a multi-month low. I think it's a four-month low on oil. And, you know, we're seeing a tremendous amount of inventory builds that have been continuing, even though Russia came out and said, yeah, we think we'll kind of apply for some of these cuts coming up and, you know, move them out even further. And all this that's going on, and nobody's buying it. But you know what? The thing is that with, as you mentioned, you know, why the transport's down, with the fact that we have oil that's coming down, it seems to be an inverse reality.
It sounds to me as though the transport should be making more money.
Exactly. You would think they would.
And with all those people buying on Amazon, I mean, there's trucks going up and down the street here, and I'm on a little cul-de-sac, more or less, that is just got, you know, it's, these guys are driving all over the place. And people are, and the airlines are doing a much better job. I don't know how many of those are included in this, but all I know is that when you go on an airplane because of the computer booking, those planes are all packed.
All packed.
And there's a lot rarely less run into a plane ride with, you know, any available seats besides, you know, what you've reserved.
But the thing is that with FedEx, you have to still wonder. Again, they missed by 27 cents per share, but they're, again, reaffirming guidance. So maybe it's a weird quarter and they're going to think they're going to have a lot more in the future. But you have to wonder how much Amazon and the other online, but Amazon is squeezing FedEx, because we saw, I think, what was it, $73 billion that Amazon paid for shipping last year. Some absurd number.
Yeah, they are squeezing them. That's true.
So, you know, they're squeezing them and they're looking at alternative carriers. They're building their own infrastructure to have planes and trucks. You've seen Amazon trucks now?
I haven't seen any in my area.
Oh, well, there are Amazon trucks.
I do have there's little vans that go around for same day delivery, which is stunning to me. They have a warehouse around here, I guess, somewhere. And I ordered a device and it says, you want free same day delivery? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got it about 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that could be one thing. But again, the stock was down about 4%, 5%, hit about, I think, 183 in the after hours and popped up to about 195 was there. Nike now, though, Nike was interesting because Nike had a decent quarter, but their worldwide future orders, something that everybody looks at is, you know, what's their future orders, were down about 1%. Stocks down about 4% in late trading. What's interesting is that there was some commentary during the conference call talking about the U.S. retail market and big concerns with the retail market in the U.S. And I think it was a broad-based discussion rather than just Nike specific. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this, right? You see that the malls are dead.
We have a couple of stores closing. We have a JCPenney's closing nearby. We have what's the other one that's starting to close shop?
Sears.
It's one of the Sears is going down.
H.H. Gregg is going to probably go bankrupt.
Yeah.
and a couple other companies in the retail space. I saw today BB Stores is going to be closing up all their brick and mortar, focusing just on online. I mean, soon you just don't have to go out of your house anymore. Between the Blue Apron food delivery, between Uber Eats, between you know, just getting things delivered for you, you really just don't have to go out. And if you don't have to go out, by the way, you don't really have to buy things because you just stay in your pajamas all day.
Well, the problem is it brings down all retail sales. I mean, yes, you can, when you go on Amazon, sometimes you do some sort of a point of purchase, like purchase. You buy something because it looks, it's on, you know, they somehow plug it to you. They do a poor job of it. But when you, I went to Target today and I bought stuff I wouldn't have normally bought because I saw it. I said, well, this is interesting. I'll buy that. You can't, the online thing doesn't really have this. It's not the same as when you're there and you're touching and feeling something.
Yeah, and you don't get that checkout experience where you're like, oh, I could use another nail clipper, or I could use that little pen light, that little pen light right there, and give me that pack of gum.
I mean, that adds to the bottom line. There's no doubt about it, but it doesn't, you know, Amazon just does it with a shotgun approach. They just sell everything. Hopefully they have the best price.
And they offer,
I don't know. I don't like this. I don't like this idea that retail is doing so poorly. I think a lot of it has to do with their merchandising and some of their promotions and their marketing. It's got to be along those lines.
Well, I mean,
I like that. We followed the JCPenney story. One guy comes in, he tries to do this. Another guy comes in, he tries to fancy the place up, and it takes the sales away. When everybody only shops at Penney's for sales, so you have to have all these sales. The other guy, old timer, comes back. If you remember, another CEO comes in, and he puts the sales back in play, but it doesn't help. There's something wrong with these guys. I don't think they're very good.
I think the problem is they're desperately trying to figure out a way to bring people in. You know, here's the problem. When everybody's doing the same damn thing, there's no longer any, you know, you used to have the corner store that would sell the stationery or the hardware. You know, they would that was the place you would do. Now you go to a Home Depot, not only can you get your basic hardware, but you can get a ton of other things. Right, I mean, there's an enormous amount of inventory in the store from anything you could possibly need, thereby putting out of business the local hardware shops that specialize. A few left still in here and there. You know, if you need a certain place that has a certain kind of screws, we have a place down here that we can get, you know, very easily. They're very helpful in the place. But the prices are higher, of course. But now it seems like between Walmart and Target and all these other places that have come in that sell just absolutely everything, that no longer is it, you know, it's kind of just homogenized the whole shopping experience.
I was thinking, you know, here's the problem. Here's another problem I'm thinking. You know, they don't sell almost everything. They sell a limited. It's just a big store with a lot of stuff, but it doesn't mean they have a good selection.
But you can't get, buying. What, you're talking about Walmart? You can't get through their selection. There's so much going on there.
I'm telling you, there's stuff that they don't carry.
I'm sure of that. I'm sure.
There's something they don't carry at the big box stores. It looks like they've got a lot of stuff, but when you go in there and yeah, sure, it's deep here and it's deep there, but there's a lot of stuff they don't carry.
And that's why it's so much easier just to shop online. That's the whole point.
Well, there's a lot of stuff they don't carry either.
Well, somebody's got to carry it. I mean, are you talking about really crazy, out-of-date something? What are you talking about?
Well, I can really only, right now, I only have examples that pertain to the Berkeley Bowl grocery stores, which has a huge store, and they carry everything, and they have a huge variety of stuff that you just can't get anywhere else, and you're definitely not going to get it online. It's a grocery store, although technically you could. But I'm reminded of the Amazon online offering or the Amazon idea of a grocery store. They don't have hardly anything. It's just a very limited selection of stuff that sells a lot. When I go, like, for example, I go to Home Depot. There's a couple of barbecue devices I like. Char grill is one of them, as opposed to a barbecue named Char Broil. Home Depot have Char Broil, and they'll have a bunch of other stuff. But they will. I have to. If I go to Lowe's, there's at least two or three brands of barbecues that I can't, I don't get any place but Lowe's. I have to go to Lowe's to buy at least two devices.
How often are you buying a barbecue?
Well, the bullet barbecues, I probably buy one every 2 years.
Really?
The Yes, because they just don't hold up. But that's a specific wet smoker, and it doesn't. You want them to, you know, they last about 2 years. They take a beating. The regular grill, like a char grill, which is that I think they're out of Georgia or someplace in the South. I buy one of those probably every 3-4 years, maybe. But it's beside the point. When I want one, I have to go to Lowe's. They don't have them at Home Depot. And in fact, when I look at the selection of barbecues at Home Depot during their barbecue season, their selection stinks.
Let me help you here. This is an area that I know. I have a barbecue. By the way, if you saw my barbecue, you'd be like, oh my. Okay, this is a barbecue. This is something.
Yeah. Is it a gas grill?
Yes. It's a lazy.
Okay.
That's
good. Now you dropped a couple of points there. Okay, go on. Now you can talk.
It's propane.
Yes, propane. Yeah.
Could be.
I cook with wood.
Okay. Well, I have those also. I have one electric and one wood fire. You know, both are one's like a pellet that I use for meats and all that.
The other one's just lost two more points with that pellet thing. But go on.
And I got another one that's wood, and I use that only for fish. I have two different ones. One's meat, one's fish. But I have the barbecue I have is probably about 14 feet long. It's got
party barbecue.
It's all stainless steel. In the center, it's got two burners for sauteing or sauces. On the right side, it's got a 3-burner. On the left side, it's got a 4-burner. It's a lazy man. It's got drawers and all that. Man, this thing is solid. Now, the problem is that you may want to replace the parts every couple of years, maybe 5 years, let's say. But it's like $2,000 to replace the guts of this thing.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
But it does have quite the cooking ability.
I'm sure it does. I've come over sometime and cook for a party.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's good stuff. Moving along back to the area.
I don't know what your anecdote has to do with.
My anecdote is go buy yourself a lazy man. They are fantastic. Great service, too. But it's going to cost you more than the $300 you spend on a barbecue.
Yeah, that's probably I keep replacing them.
The barbecue I have, I don't even want to tell you what it costs. It's a small car.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's not the point that I was making about the selection at these big box stores.
Okay. I think I understand your point. But isn't it just as easy to shop online and then go to multiple places to make sure you have whatever product you want? So you don't have to drive all around town.
Well, I agree with that to a point, but sometimes you want to look and feel the product. You want to check it out. You want to see what it looks like. You just want to see it.
All right. I got it. Touch it, see it, feel
clothes
it.
Clothes especially.
Right. Well, I don't mind. I buy shoes. I buy a size above and a size, I buy, you know, three sizes. I have them shipped to me and try them on and send the rest back.
Yeah.
But, you know, these days, I actually,
one of the few people that refuse to do that. I'm not a shipping department.
Yeah. And the other problem is you buy a barbecue and you buy a couple of them. It kind of gets a little bit crowded when they deliver. Oh, let's talk about a new warning index gauge that is being talked about. It's called the VIX SKEW Index, SKEW.
Oh, who dreamed this one up? I haven't heard of this.
This is why I brought this up, by the way. It's all about, you know, finding that. Remember the Hindenburg omen? That whole thing? Right. Remember that? The Hindenburg omen?
Yeah, you had a long lecture about it.
And all these kind of things, right? So this is the VIX SKEW index at record highs. Basically, the cost to purchase downside risk protection right now is much higher than to have the reverse. And it's on a relative basis. So now there is something to be said about the fact that a lot more players are looking to buy downside risk insurance versus the opposite, you know, sell it or not sell it, but buy the upside side of it on the risk basis. So with the VIX at relatively, not historic lows, but historic lows from an average standpoint, it's something to consider that, again, back to the whole point of markets could be a little wobbly here. Just something there. Wells Fargo.
That's interesting.
Wells Fargo still being hit by the scam. Remember the scam accounts, the scandal that they had there?
Yes, apparently this never ends. And I understand there's some other banks that have the same problem. I guess
Hold on.
They must have been all one seminar they all went to.
Right. Do you remember that Wells Fargo came out with this and everybody else was quiet?
Right.
And yeah, we were. And we said, there is no way this is happening at one bank only. There's just no way. No,
I'm telling you, it's a seminar.
Yeah. Oh. This is a how to increase your bank accounts without anyone knowing. It's kind of like a package kit they get, right? Go back to the office.
And a big binder.
Train your office to do this. Step one, step two. And by the third month, you'll have a, you know, 10 times more of the accounts than you thought. What's interesting is that, and by the way, the banks, not only here, but across the world, they're just cocksuckers. And the
wrong way of putting it.
The reason is that they know that whatever they do wrong, they'll be bailed out in the end. What's the worst going to happen? The worst going to happen, they'll get a $3 billion fine. They'll just goose their fees somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. They should be throwing people in jail. That would change fast.
Yeah. That ain't going to happen.
Nope.
I mean, and most people get off with just a hand slap. And then if they do get a big slap, they get to go away with all sorts of beautiful parting gifts.
Yes, true.
So we're seeing that Wells Fargo is seeing a gigantic drop in new accounts being opened, which probably because they don't have any fake ones being opened. And yeah. a big drop.
And who in their right mind would do business with these banks?
Yeah. And a big drop in the credit card accounts. I had recently I saw a $29 fee on my business bank account. And I'm like, what is that? Maybe it's an annual fee or something. I don't know. I'm thinking, I don't remember ever seeing that before. So I called up the bank. I'm like, what's up with that? Oh, yes. You didn't have X amount of average balance in your account. I'm like, well, really? I have two accounts that are linked into the same situation. You know, it's kind of the linked account for my business. And I'm like, well, what is it? What do you have to, what is the number? You have to have at least $25,000 in the bank account or $35,000 average for the month. I'm like, why? I mean, I run a lot of stuff through there. Why would I have to have $35,000 average balance? And why would I keep that money in my business anyway? Right? I mean, what's the point of that? So they took the fee off. But the point is, this is something obviously new that I never saw before, because I don't think that I've always had a $35,000 average balance in my checking accounts.
Yeah, they add these new little features.
Yeah.
And bingo, you're out $30.
Yeah.
And that just you spread that over 10,000 customers. There you go. $3 million.
There you go. Just rack it up. That's the add-on seminar. That's seminar number two. Right? That's a separate binder. Let's talk about Apple for a second. Have you taken the time to look at the new red phone?
No, I like the idea, though. I was hoping they were doing a red phone last release, because it seems to me that a red phone is a great idea. But it's like kind of a gimmick. They're doing it as some sort of charity or something. I don't know what.
Can't you just put a red case on the phone?
Yes, well, you could. But I don't like cases. I like the phone to have. I don't like those extra cases. I don't carry use one. I don't drop my phone. I don't.
Well, you have a flip phone anyway.
Yeah, yeah, with an antenna you pull out.
With your teeth.
That's right. That's what most people used to do.
Right? A bite.
Pull out with their teeth.
That's what it is.
You get a little RF radiation on your lips.
But this red phone, so I tried to find out what was the charity and how much did they get. So the charity is, I think it's called Red, actually. It's HIV and AIDS. A cure, yeah. And awareness and all that stuff. I could not find anywhere how much of the proceeds were going to this organization. I don't know. Maybe.
I didn't see that either.
You think they would have said, hey, 10% of all the proceeds of this phone is going to this or that?
Probably like a 1%, maybe a 0.5%.
Which is probably a few million dollars.
Maybe 10 cents a phone.
Yeah. But the red phone. They also announced some other things about a new iPad. Apple sold, by the way, about 13 million iPads during the holiday shopping season. They announced this in January. A 19% decline from the prior year. And we also knew that...
I don't know why people are buying these things in the first place. I have two tablets. I rarely use them. You have a tablet?
I have a tablet. And right now, I'll tell you what I'm doing with it. I used to use it a lot. Right now, it's just... for the chat room.
Well, at least that's some use.
It's on a stand that sits over my other screen, and it's on the. That's it. That's all I use it for. I used to use it quite often, but now that the phones are so much bigger, you know, it's much easier to deal with. So, I was wondering.
Yeah, you can't put one of these iPads in your pocket.
No, definitely not. Unless you're very large, you know, size 52 pants waist or something like that, and you have those big pockets. But I was thinking, why are they putting out this cheaper versioned iPad? You know, I guess maybe there's some concern against the peer products out there. Possibly. So the new iPad
is maybe the clones or people are, but I don't have no idea.
Because the new iPad is going to be the 9.7 inch, same size and shape as the iPad Pro, a little bit heavier. I don't know why it's a little heavier, but
why is it heavier?
I don't even understand why it's heavier. Well, it's probably got all sorts of listening and surveillance devices in there.
Yeah.
Right? Siri gained a little weight. I don't know. But here's what it is. It's a 329 product for a 32 gigabyte. The iPad mini is only available in 128 gigabyte with Wi-Fi is $399. So this one is the iPad at $329 starting price. The 128 gigabyte is $429. And then if you add some cell service, it adds up a little bit more. But here's some things it doesn't have. It doesn't have a fully laminated display, which I'm not exactly sure even what that means. It doesn't have anti-reflective coating. What are you drinking? What is that?
I am drinking La Croix cranberry flavored water.
Ah. With or without
That microphone does a job on
it. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Can't do anything.
Yeah, what
can't do anything. Yeah,
exactly. I hear you kicking the keyboard too at the floor. It does have a wide color display, true tone display. It's not compatible with the Apple Pencil, which you got to wonder what the hell that, who's thinking
what
about.
What was that all about?
Who's thinking about this? Who's coming up with these ideas? It's not compatible with the Apple Smart Keyboard, which I don't really understand that at all because, again, I don't get it. It is 8 megapixel photo versus 12 megapixel on the photo, on the Pro. There's some other differences in the camera. Battery's about the same. It has 2 speakers versus 4 speakers on the Pro. It has the A9 chipset, which is faster than Mini's A8 chipset, but it's still slower than the A9X chipset that's on the iPad Pro versions by about a magnitude of about a quarter. So I don't get it. I just don't understand why we go backwards.
Yeah, cheaper.
And that is not compatible with the Apple Pencil. Is it that they're pushing you to buy the iPad Pro? You know, because Apple doesn't do anything really by mistake, right?
That could be changing over time, but technically or historically, let's say, yes, you're right.
Yeah, somebody had to say, we're not going to make this compatible with the Apple Pencil. And the Apple Pencil department said, hello, why would that be? Because we sell that for whatever it is, $99. And that's a good feature. And it's, you know, people that want to enter to a lower. Yes, but
I think they're hurting sales of the $99. I don't know. It's really, I think it's a mistake.
But it's the same thing that they do all the time. It's because they don't want it to cannibalize on another product. This is why they still come out with the iPad.
Yeah, but it seems to me that most of the profit is made on the stupid pencil.
Well, there's some profitability there at $99, whatever it costs. There's definitely some profitability. But you know what? And plus, you lose it. You know, they make all these devices that you can lose, like the earbuds.
Oh, yeah. That's smart. They're just designed to be lost.
Yeah. Just you have to buy a new one. All right. Moving right along here. We've got a lot to talk about. Jeff Bezos now increased his wealth by $27 billion over the last year. He's now the third richest person in the world behind Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. Go Jeff Bezos. I met him once. He's a funny guy. Let's see here. You can follow John C. Dvorak at The Real Dvorak on Twitter. Myself, Andrew Horowitz, one word. Of course, you can donate. Thank you, by the way, so much for donations last week. I think there were some birthday donations that were given. So don't be cheap. Donate. That's my poem.
There you go.
That's my poem.
That's our motto. Yeah. Don't be cheap.
Yeah, don't be cheap. Donate. That's it. Very simple. And if that annoys you, you should probably donate more because if we have much more donations, we wouldn't say it so often. Close to the pin competition, it is now Snapchat. Now trading at about $20.69. You have about 6 or 7 days to get your, we extended the time to get your actual guess in because I thought this would be pretty volatile. So you can go over to DH Unplugged and click on the button that says now open for entries and put in a guess for
low
Snap
number.
Yep. And you can, whatever you're thinking, go lower. what you can get is the potential to win not only a custom designed DH Unplugged one of a kind t-shirt designed by Jimbo, plus you also get a certificate that you can frame and show all your friends. Look at this.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea.
Look at this.
Yeah, put it up on the wall.
Yep.
You know, I get the biggest kick out of the pitch about Snapchat is that all the millennials are buying shares of this company because they use the product. I'm thinking that's in many cases, some of the stupidest. I mean, it's good that you are buying shares in a company that you support by using their product. But in this case, it seems a bit much to me. I think these kids are being taken for a ride.
But you think that somebody's promoting it to be bought by the millennials, or you just think, or whoever that uses them? Use a Snap, or is it just
a reason that there's millennials? Why are they buying this company? Somebody's got to be promoting it. You don't just out of the blue not be an investor or own a lot of stock and then suddenly start buying one company because you use it. I mean, they use Facebook too. Not necessarily jumping on Facebook's bandwagon, which is probably not a bad idea.
I mean, the thing is, and somebody from the chat room said, you know, say whatever you want about Snapchat, everybody's copying it. That's the exact point. We're talking about the stock here. We're not talking about the actual product. The product is fun. It's definitely fun. But you know what? Think about this for a second. Even if every single Snapchat that you have has a promotion on it, use one of the filters that's the taco or the chicken from Chick-fil-A or whatever it is, you actually use that, they disappear immediately. You see it once and then it disappears. It's not like it's on Facebook or Twitter or wherever you want that just it lives on forever. You know what I'm saying? It's meant to have a self-destruct feature in the basic product. That's the whole reason why a lot of people use it.
Well, they can probably come with they can name that thing like flash ads. Very effective. Flash ads.
Yeah.
Effective. You could probably talk people into thinking there's something going on there. I'm just not a fan. I'm just not seeing it.
Well, let's
doesn't mean it won't take off like a rocket.
It is. It's doing very well. But again, they have to really come up with a model that is going to be able to have stickiness for the advertisers. So
just seems like a 50-cent company to me. I don't. I'm old fashioned.
Yeah. We have to do a quick follow up on the feller who was the defense attorney that was defending the guy that supposedly lit his car on fire and he was charged with arson. And if you remember, he had this ploy where seemingly something happened where he had a bunch of batteries in his back pocket that spontaneously combusted during the trial.
Right. I remember that.
He was they didn't buy it. He was found guilty of the guy.
Oh.
All right, let's talk about something that's really horrible, something called daily commutes. I found this really interesting statistic and chart, which, again, you can find out over on DH Unplugged and check this out and look at this. This is the daily commutes around the country, and we're finding that, as expected, certain parts of California and the Northeast, the average daily commute is 30 minutes to get to work.
Mm.
Parts of Washington State.
That's an hour a day. That's an hour a day is minimum. That would be 5 hours a week, which is right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So you could see this. I thought it was kind of an interesting chart that showed these hot spots. I mean, the center of the country it doesn't take any time to get to work. But parts of Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're talking about there's no city near there either to work at.
Yeah. So, but you can go like 90 to get there without any traffic.
Southern Oregon looks pretty good.
Some areas of Washington State where like Microsoft is and the tech centers are very crowded.
Yeah, you go up there. The traffic might as well be on the 405 in Los Angeles.
Some of the areas in Nevada I thought were kind of interesting that there's a lot of traffic there.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. I'm looking at this thing. It in some ways in the West, at least, it doesn't make as much sense. The East, yeah, it's just jammed. Everywhere there's a city, there's a dark color.
Yep.
Yeah, 40 minutes and up.
Yeah, the most is Miami, Los Angeles, New York, New Jersey. That whole area is just a disaster. 30 minutes plus to get to work.
Move closer to your workplace.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
Or have your work in your house. I couldn't
do that. Well, that's the best.
I couldn't do that. All right. Is anybody surprised about? I couldn't. I need to get out.
You can get out.
I probably end up sitting on the couch all day.
Believe me, I've been working from my house from, I don't know, since the 80s. I do get a job once in a while and work someplace because of whatever. I have reasons to do that, to learn something new or to get out of the house sometimes. My wife's always bitching about that. But generally speaking, you don't sit around the couch. You usually sit, you find that you use your time wisely usually when you're working.
The wife factor would also be an issue. But let me tell you something. My grandfather, he had the office in his house. His office was 10 feet from his bedroom.
Yeah, that's mine. That's what I got.
But I bet you don't do what he does. Every morning he got up, he put on a full suit and tie.
Ha!
Full suit and tie.
I like it.
Okay.
I'm going to start doing that.
Full armor, okay, to go into his office. I'm like, where are you going?
10 feet away.
Where are you going? Going to work. Oh, but isn't your work right here? Yes, but I feel much more, he was a lawyer. I feel much more, you know, like I'm working and...
By wearing the uniform.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. That's not a bad, you know, that may be something in these work at home guides that may be something to consider.
Yeah. He did very well for himself. Papa Milton. Great guy. Let's talk about Brazil for a second here. I got a couple of things to talk about. Brazilian politicians. I mean, I don't know if this is a shock after what we saw. Of course, there was an impeachment. They're scrambling to negotiate an amnesty for illicit funding as part of an effort to shield themselves from a widening graft probe.
The crooks who ousted the poor woman, Dilma,
right.
They get rid of her because she's doing an investigation of them. They kick her out. They put themselves in, and then they do this.
Yep.
It's obviously a criminal organization.
Yep. Bad place. And we'll see what happens in South Korea now with Park is out. And who was it? You're going to put Betty, the congresswoman. She hates Trump.
They all hate Trump.
She tweeted something like, "Let the impeachment begin."
Oh, Maxine Waters.
Yeah, Maxine Waters. Yeah.
Oh, she's an idiot. She's an embarrassment to the area, even though I think she's got Compton or something. They could do better than that.
Goldman Sachs is looking to break their core investment philosophy. They're going to create a robo advisor for affluent clients.
Really? That's funny. That's your pet peeve.
Well, the thing is, it's interesting. We're building one. We have a product.
What?
But let me just explain. It's not a robo advisor. It is, as we call it, it's called Investology, which is a advisor crafted technology enhanced platform. Not a robo-advisor where it's like you answer three questions. Ours has a lot more questions, and we also do a lot of things in the background. But it is somewhat automated in terms of the account onboarding process as well as having a place that you could see where your portfolio is doing and, you know, what's happening. Plus, you know, people want to have a less – we have a $500,000 minimum for our core portfolios. This is similar to that. You know, we may drop it down to $10,000 minimum for this. And it's going to actually, we're doing some beta testing, live money beta testing, starting probably in about 2 or 3 weeks. And we have a bunch of people that are on the list already for that. But the thing is, the difference is that most robo-advisors are these just ETFs. And what these companies are doing is, like Schwab, you go and do their thing, you answer a few questions, and then they put you in these just portfolios, right? You know, these one, two, three different portfolios. But they're all using their particular proprietary funded ETFs and mutual funds.
Oh.
Okay. So it's
selling you their product.
Right. That's all they're doing is an asset grab.
Our robot says this product, which coincidentally is our product.
Right. Right. And then they do some other things like they rebalance the portfolio on an automatic basis. And the problem is we're doing it. We're using some of the technology platform, but not the crap that goes into it to make the investments much better. And the thing is that we're using mutual funds and ETFs, the best in the business that we could find, the ones that we know to be the best and stay on top of it versus just an ETF that tracks things and just hope to God that things work out, staying fully invested. It's a whole different thing. But the platform is similar in terms of the onboarding and some of the other things that are involved in it. So it's going to be actually luck. Well, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a very interesting low cost alternative. So anyway, but I thought it was really kind of unbelievable that Goldman Sachs is now getting into this, because obviously there's so much of a desire to grab the money, and it's become okay to do it.
This is the beginning of the end, as far as I can tell.
Yeah,
I think this all marks the end times. The market's going to collapse.
Oh, there we go. We have to say goodbye to David Rockefeller.
Yeah.
He died.
I thought he was going to go another 10 years. Yeah, I think for sure.
What, 101 or so?
101.
Yeah. Let's see here.
By the way, I'm looking at this. I just still have that map of the commute times on the screen.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering why the commute times are so high in East Texas. What goes on in East Texas?
Maybe a lot of horses in the road.
No idea. Just kind of baffling.
Show this to Curry. Maybe he has a. Oh, by the way, how is your shindig with Curry?
Oh, it was great.
That was good.
He came down. I got to meet his fiance.
She's a doll, isn't she?
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Yeah, well, I didn't mean it that way. I meant that she was
got
very
a
nice.
Good. She's got a personality that's quite. That adds to her. She's got a good personality and very pretty. She's dynamite.
Digging yourself a hole here, man.
and it was great. It was good.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I heard you showed up in formal garb or something.
No, I was wearing a championship hoodie from South Dakota State University for the Bison.
Ah.
I have five of them. I have one for their first championship, their second championship, their third. They won the NCAA 1AA football championship 5 years in a row.
Well, there you go. Everybody should be wearing one.
That's what I say.
Yep. Real quick, before we go on to the stocks, which we're going to talk about in a moment, three quick things. Number one, great way to cover your tracks these days is what I think. So McDonald's comes out with a tweet about something negative or something about Trump and whatever, and then they say, hey, you know what? We've been hacked. And they pull the tweet and they deny any kind of accountability for it.
Yeah.
Something, and what a great way of covering your tracks by just saying, oh, we've been hacked. Everybody thinks, oh, so wait,
it's what you do. It's what you say.
Oh, you didn't like what I said? Oh, no. It wasn't us.
I was hacked.
Now, you tweeted on this speaking about robo-advisors. Now we're talking about robo-brothels. You retweeted this.
Yeah, I did. I retweeted this thing. I guess it was the robot girls at some Japanese place or something or somewhere.
Creepy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Creepy. So it seems that there was this location in Barcelona, I guess, Ballesta de Sant Miguel. It's Spanish City's Gothic Quarter by the cathedral. But the brothel was really close to La Rambla, which is the heart of the city, and is now moved to a mystery location because it seems that the Association of Sex Professionals objected, saying that a doll cannot match the service of a real person and denigrates real sex workers. Denigrates real sex workers to merely being an object.
As opposed to a companion.
Yeah, or something we are, and they have a union. What are they going to do, a strike?
A lot of these European prostitutes have formed unions in certain areas where it's semi-legal.
It's unbelievable.
And I don't know if they strike, but they probably do strike. Why not?
I guess.
I'm done.
They're going to be on strike,
and then
us.
They can march. That's what you don't want.
Yeah.
Outside in front of your corporation, a bunch of prostitutes with signs walking in a circle protesting your company.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Don't want that.
Right. Yeah. I can think of all sorts of signs that they could use also against the robotic call girls. That'd be very interesting. Anyway, what are you writing for PC Magazine this week?
I'm writing about the general all-purpose scams that permeate Silicon Valley, where they promise one thing and they never deliver it, or they give you a free service and they say it's going to be there forever and then they fold, this sort of thing. And my target was the because I've been wanting to write about this for a while. In 2013, Microsoft came up with this when they got their Office 365 off the ground. Oh, and then within a year or two, they came out with, oh, you're going to give you unlimited data storage.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Well, that lasted about a year.
Oh.
And people started, the thing is, I wrote about this when it first came out. I said, this is not going to work. This is stupid. What are you going to do? Not use Office 365? Or are you not going to use the Microsoft products? I mean, what are you going to do? You can't do anything about it. And the FTC won't do anything about it because the EULA, I'm absolutely certain, says we can do whatever we want about anything. And so if we kill this deal overnight, unlimited storage, we can. It's legal. It's a grouse column. Griping.
Grousing and griping.
That's what I do.
You do it well, too. Let's take a look over on the weekly stock picks. This is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of anything at all, of course. If you do decide to use anything that we talk about, please do yourself and us a favor and do the research and get some help from a professional. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own any of the securities that we talk about. We will duly note that in the disclosures. You can find out all about what's going on within the portfolios over on DH Unplugged. You click on the weekly stock picks, and there's a active table that shows you what's happening in terms of profits, losses, when it stopped out, and things of that nature. That's all I have.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm looking at this thing. There's a lot of good picks recently.
Yeah.
Except for Jack in the Box. The one that's impressive is the Drexion Shares Exchange Traded Fund, the ETF Nugget.
Yep, that's the 3x long gold miners.
Yeah, killer.
28% up.
28% in what, a couple weeks?
2 weeks.
Looks like Barclays still hasn't kicked us off yet. We're still doing well there.
Wait, was Snapchat your pick? The short? Yeah, that was yours.
Yeah, that was mine, actually. I was shorting it. Yeah. Exactly. You should put my name. I need credit.
Yeah.
that jumped right away. Gilead Sciences is dead money, but it's up a little bit. It's another short. They have a lot of shorts.
Yeah. I've been doing pretty good. Cara Therapeutics we had last week. That was a... again, it was something to do with the marijuana and the opioid planes and the pain receptors and a variety of different things. They're up 5.5% and it was down 3.5% today. So that's pretty good. But take a look at the list and you can check that all out. I have one stock for this week.
I do too.
It's very thinly traded.
Oh, well, you're going to have to put some big numbers on it.
Yeah, I should probably put a 15% on there. But it's thinly traded. It's called CRISPR Therapeutics. Symbol CRSP. And
CRISPR.
Yeah. CRISPR is a type of biotech process. And you can go into all of this. It has to do with the RNA and the messaging of genetics and how you can actually program the RNA to deliver back to your body or back to your genes a sequence that will then repair essentially your genetic code. And there's a lot of other things involved in this. But basically, this is something that has been very much talked about. And if it ever comes to fruition and actually works, I've talked to some friends in the area of biotech that are in the business. And the whole idea of finding any companies that are doing work with the RNA, which is ribonucleic acid, which is part of the DNA process and the genetic process for what things tell the other parts of the body what to do and how to, your hair growth and memory and just everything about your body, just the whole thing. It's just telling you it's the map of your body. So essentially, what's happening here is that they are working on this process. They don't have any product out per se yet. There's no cash flow, but this is something that I think could be very interesting.
Yeah.
So I'll put a 15% on there. What do you have?
I have one. I've got TRNC.
Again, didn't you do that already? Trunk?
Not that I remember.
You had Trunk. Is that what that
TRNC.
Is?
TRNC. It's a publisher. I don't remember buying a publisher.
You had this Trunk. Maybe I talked you out of it. It was the combination of Times.
Yeah, Time
Trunk.
Tribune.
You had it on Trunk. You bought on 1/4/2017. You lost 6.5% on it.
Okay, we're going for it again.
All right.
Now, this time I think I got a better shot. I think this other guy must have been doing the same thing. I could be wrong. But I'm always suspicious. I'm not necessarily a big follower of Asian directors who are insiders buying a lot of companies, buying a lot of stock. I just think they are susceptible of being suckered. But this guy, his name is Patrick Soon-Shiong, which may be Korean. Can't tell. Some are Chinese. Anyway, he is a director. And sometime back in December, he bought, like, he was playing around. He bought 200 shares. And then the stock went up. And then he bought, like, in February, just recently, he bought 7,000 shares. He went from his first investment, 2,600 to 100,000. Then he bought another 100,000 on the 16th, which it shows that they get the wrong order here. So he bought. So everyone has been going up. So he bought 96,000 shares, then 100,000 shares. And then out of the blue, this is what, when I see this sort of action on March 20th, out of the blue, he buys $43 million worth.
Wow. That's a chunk.
That's a chunk.
Yeah, that's a chunk.
So I'm thinking nobody in their right mind has this buying pattern unless something's up. And so that's my – so I'm going to – you can put the little detail. Buying pattern anomaly. Let's put it that way.
Buying pattern anomaly.
Yeah, by an insider. So that's TRNC. So I'm going to – this to me looks like something's going on with this company. I'm thinking maybe a buyout. This could be a company. This could be a merger acquisition. I'm thinking it's an M&A coming up with these guys, and this guy knows about it.
Old M&A.
And I would, by the way, be looking at this. I'm thinking that the SEC needs to look at this guy if anything happens. It won't happen right away.
Yeah,
but it looks like something to buy.
Interesting. All right, we're running a little bit over. We're going to. End it there. And of course, be back next week for an all new DH Unplugged. You can also listen to the new Agenda show with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry. Always a good listen on Thursdays as well as on Sundays. You can also listen to them live or through a podcast. And The Disciplined Investor, which is on Sundays, we release it. And we have lots of good information. If you haven't listened to episode 500 yet, which was a flashback to the yesteryear, the culmination of all sorts of great guests that were on there. Listen to episode number 500 on thedisciplinedinvestor.com. And the last thing I'll mention is, as we said before, donate, don't be cheap. Or no, don't be cheap, donate. Which way was it?
Yes, don't be cheap.
Don't
there
be cheap.
There you go.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.